Well, hello, darlings. Long time no speak. My goodness, it has been a few weeks since I've done a podcast. So buckle up, strap in, strap on, do whatever you need to do because it will probably go the entire hour where I get cut off after an hour. You want to see my setup? I have this enormous, no, that's not what she said. I have this enormous black obsidian Vogel that has just been delivered to me. I ordered it while I was in Singapore from an incredible supplier I have over in WA. And oh my fucking God, it is next level quality. The black is just the purest black I've ever seen. It's the most incredible black. It's got like this little, like this chip on it that throws a rainbow within it. So it's obviously got some rainbow obsidian in it as well, but it is jet black. Pure proper Vogel. The point is extremely sharp. It is long, and that is what she said. It is long and it is big and it is vibrant and powerful. So I've got this as my little talisman today, plus a coffee, of course. I've got the Goddess Oracle deck in front of me and a page full of very random notes because it's a big week that I am, cracking open as I come back. Obviously, I haven't done a little potty for a few weeks, and thank you for all the love that I get in my messages and emails about how you miss me. I miss you too. But thank you for giving me the space. I have obviously been on holidays. I've been in Singapore. If you follow my Instagram, you would have seen all of my Singapore shenanigans. Despite it being so motherfucking hot that it is debilitatingly, oppressively, relentlessly bad, I fucking love Singapore. I mean, the people are beautiful. Well, it's funny, the people are, the people who live and work there don't really like tourists, but of course, all of the wait staff and hotel people and just everyone else is really, really divine. So it was a really beautiful experience, bar the heat. Yeah, that was just debilitating. I actually thought I had to go to hospital at some point because I was dehydrated. Because obviously you need to drink a shitload of water, and because we're at the F1, because my husband is a crazy F1 fan, so this was a bit of a bucket list tick for him. We were literally like, out in the sun in fields from 3 to 4 p.m. to midnight, like the just and the heat. It honestly got hotter at 10 p.m. How does it get fucking hotter at 10 p.m.? Mate, I was sweating. I looked like a hot mess. I think there was only like 2 nights I looked half decent. People were like, "Oh, Singapore looks good on you." I'm like, "Darling, darling, it's the lighting. I've looked like a fucking bloated hot mess the entire time, darling." I wasn't putting those hideous photos up because I was just red and sweating and red and sweating, especially at the F1. Once the F1 was over, there were 3 very big days, as you could imagine. Lots of walking, and just the sun and the heat and the humidity, hundreds and thousands of people. But look, it was fucking amazing. And yeah, then I did a lot of like pool side relaxing, the Marina Bay, which was, awesome. Beautiful restaurants, great food. Local food, like it was just awesome. It was just awesome to be with my honey and spend time, just us for 10 days with some of our friends as well. And so I'm back, baby. Like it has been like 3 weeks since I've actually worked. And today I've been working my little heart out, and I must tell you, I do miss it, darling. So I was actually up until 1:30 this morning working, working on my brand new masterclass. Drum roll, I am fucking excited about this because we are moving into eclipse season very soon. So this potty, I am going to just set you up for the next week, and I am back as, normal programming from here on in. But eclipse season is looming. It is coming. And so this Eclipse Masterclass that I've put together is like a preview, and it's on a really auspicious portal day. So not only is it 1010, so all numerology portals have been something I've been working with forever. Not where all the hype has come out around, 8/8 and all those things. Like numbers hold energy and sacred frequency. They are vortexes and gateways. Anyway, so I've been working with numerology portals for well over 2 decades because I've been a numerology nerd since I was a little kid. And ultimately, you know, 10-10 is really potent because the zero is the circle. It's the Ouroboros. It's the never ending, never beginning. You know, it's the snake eating itself, the transmutation, the transformation. And if you buy my 2024 kit, you know, the Ouroboros shows up a lot. We are moving into the year of the dragon. And then in 2025, the year of the snake. So I'm really pumped around my kit that is for sale at the moment, and it is friggin' amazing, phenomenal information. So lots of dragon medicine there, lots of Ouroboros snake references, and then we move into the year of the snake 2025. So I've got so much to share about so many things. I mean, God, darlings, I've missed you. Are your ears orgasming yet? Like, come on, like, this is exciting. I'm having a moment. I'm holding this very phallic looking black Vogel in my hand, and it's just like the power. I look like fucking Wonder Woman or something. So this masterclass that I've put together is to preview the eclipses, because obviously eclipses, you know, there is no rituals. You're not doing anything under the eclipse. You know, you are not fucking with the energy, right? Like, this is a time of surrender and to give up control. But people love to manipulate and control outcomes, right? They want to, you know, they want to do things. But ultimately, eclipses are asking you to surrender that, to let go. And because what's happening with eclipses is obviously, you know, things are eclipsed, they are hidden, they are obscured. So that's why you don't manifest. That's why you're not doing anything, because there's going to be something that suddenly shows up or suddenly takes you down. Again, you do not interfere with cosmic karma, and eclipses are karma. They're karma portals. They're the dragon's mouth, the dragon's tail. They are dragon holes of wisdom, of deep communion with the sun, moon, and earth. Yeah, like the alignment is next level. It only happens a few times a year, right? Like, so it's not just your average, you know, new moon and full moon. So I want to really prep you for these ones, because they are massive. Like, these two eclipses, they're seeing out, you know, the end of an 18-month cycle, you know, eclipses that we will not see for nearly 10 years. I'm holding it on 10-10 gateway. Again, the zero and the one, there's something really incredible about that energy. A 10 energy holds its own frequency. You know, often if you're, say, born on the 12th of something, you know, you would go one and two is three. Of course, every number, 12, 13, 14, they all hold frequency. And in the liquid crystals, they have a crystal that associates with that number. So absolutely, there is deep reverence and sacred initiation to each number. But when you're sort of calculating on a numerology level, you usually bring numbers down to, you know, to a single digit, except for master numbers of 11, 22, 33, 44, so on and so forth. But the 10 holds its own sacred frequency. So, you know, there's something really portal-like, because you look at 11-11, and 11-11 is the gateways, the kookaburra, garnet, manifestation, dimension hopping. And 10-10 has the one and the zero. So there's this level of self autonomy, the one, you, I am, and the zero, the never ending, the never beginning, the circle of life, the cycle of life, you know, the wheel of life, the zodiac alchemy of life, you know, the round, the circle, yeah, the circle frequency. So that is the zero. So the 10-10 gate is always a really special one for me. It's something that I've, you know, always plugged into. But this particular 10-10 gate has Lilith, Venus, and the moon just very slightly, just about to move to the Venus gate, which is activating the third eye chakra. So we're moving to, we have Venus as a morning star. So actually on the 11th of October, when you get up in the morning, you will be able to see Venus with the moon, both in Virgo. And ultimately this is activating the third eye chakra. And Lilith is also there at 00 degrees of Virgo. So we have just gone through such a solar wormhole of Lilith, dark moon, black moon Lilith, black moon Lilith it is, not dark moon Lilith. Dark moon Lilith is Waldemath Lilith, but black moon Lilith, who has been in Leo, Yeah. So the solar frequency, and I can't even tell you like the lion stuff I'm going to talk about and this full moon. Oh my God. Like, so I've just got so much to say. It's like a little bit wild. And I haven't even had coffee yet. I've just got coffee all over my doona cover, but that is okay. It's just a doona cover. Okay. So holding this sacred gate, eclipse preview masterclass on 10/10, the gateway, the portal, the Venus gate of the third eye chakra, so we can be all seeing and all knowing what's coming up. And because we don't ritual on eclipses, and because the eclipse gateway actually opens tomorrow, I'm recording this on the 28th of September, but tomorrow on the 29th, we have the full moon in Aries, and I'm going to absolutely unpack the shit out of that in a minute. But from there, eclipse season begins. Now, on the 15th of October, we have the solar eclipse, and that is when the eclipse sandwich begins. That is when we are in the wormhole of eclipses, from the solar eclipse to the lunar eclipse at the end of October. So, October is a big month. Pluto stations direct on the 11th as well. So, you know, again, I'll talk more about that probably next week. But it's a big month. It is a big month. And whew, yeah, October eclipse season. And these two eclipses, their signatures, the aspects, the solar eclipse is actually a south node eclipse. So there is a huge karmic purging that is being asked of us. And so whilst everyone's like solar eclipse, new beginning, new moon, it's like absolutely not. Like this is the season that I have called the upside down, in reference to Stranger Things, because it is the upside down. It's the upside down eclipse season, because both the solar and the lunar eclipse are tainted with release, are tainted with deep, deep completion. And so I'm holding this on the 10th 10 gateway. It's also the clear quartz day in the liquid crystal, so very high frequency. So if you're joining me, make sure you have a clear quartz with you. We're going to program that. Yes, we are. Don't you even worry about it. But yeah, the Eclipse Masterclass is going to be fucking next level. It's $35, seriously. Like, come and join. It's on my website now, tiani.com.au. Come and join, because it's going to be a friggin' next level class. Like, I haven't been more excited about a class than I am about this class for some reason. I don't know. It kept me up until 1:30 this morning. I did then sleep until 10 a.m. because, you know, I'm on holidays, darlings, and this is my first actual day back. Doing anything in 3 weeks. I am getting my horoscopes ready for next week for my cosmic calendar subscribers. And look, if you are a cosmic calendar subscriber, holy shit, like, welcome to the joy. Like, seriously, are you not on the bandwagon yet? It's $8 a month or 88 for the entire year. So you're getting 2 months free. Now, it's a great time to join because I'm just about to upload all of the October stuff. So, whilst yes, I come on here and share things, what I give you in the calendar are, you know, songs to connect to for certain days. I do give you know, certain aspects and transits or questions or liquid crystal things or numerology things or, you know, of course, the full moon and new moon stuff is there, certain ingresses. But it's all straight to your calendar. It's right there. Like, you just can look at it every single day. What's going on? What's coming up to be prepared? And the feedback that I get is like, oh, thank God I looked, because, you know, Mars was opposite Chiron. And if I hadn't have known that, I would have really blew up at X, Y, and Z. But because I knew that, I was prepared. So as much as stuff goes around, like, this is succinct to your calendar. So honestly, it's $2 a week. Like, you wouldn't even pick $2 off the fucking ground. Like, it is so worth it. Plus, you get my weekly horoscopes, which is all my joy and all my passion, and it's only $8 a month. And I want you there. I really, really want you to be a part of this cosmic cauldron, in my cosmic calendar community. CCCCC. So I think that's all the little prep work that I want to talk about first, because I'm very high on excitement at the moment, as you can tell. It's Libra season. I fucking love Libra season. If you have a Libra rising like I do, you're probably reveling yourself in it. Even if you've got a late degree rising sign, you know, 28, 29, your first house is still ruled by Libra. And this means that the first house is still being active by and activated by the transit sun. Okay, so we're switching on. If you've got a Libra rising, all of a sudden your whole chart turns on. This is the beginning of a new year for you. And that's, you know, I've already shared this in many podcasts before, the three seasons that you will gel with the most, or that you want to really tune into the most, is of course your sun and your moon season, but your rising season. Because your rising season is, again, the kickoff of the new creative alchemy wheel of self, of soul, of identity, of the way you're beginning things. It's new beginnings, it's endings. You've ended a full 12 months of the sun moving through your chart, and now you begin again. Now again, it's the portal of like renewing, rebirth, right? And for us Libra risings, especially down under, like this is spring for us, you know? So this works really well because we have that opposite chart of the Northern Hemisphere. But then it's the same, right? Like there's this similarity that we connect to the Northern Hemisphere because we have a Libra rising. I'm not going to go into that, but it's pretty special. So Libra risings, welcome, but welcome everyone. Welcome to all you Libra suns, all you Libra moons, all you Libra risings. It is your season. And yeah, it's such a great time, you know, and we're in such a potent Libra portal with the South Node being in Libra for the first time in nearly 20 years. And as I've already shared, if you are a Pluto in Libra generation like I am, if you've got Saturn in Libra like I do, so 81 baby or 80 baby, 81 baby, 80 baby, 82 baby, maybe going a little bit into 83. And Jupiter is also 81 from May of 81. And then of course, any other planets, maybe you've got Mars, maybe you've got Libra in Venus, Venus in Libra. Hello, I'm going Mars in Libra, Venus in Libra. Whatever planets you have in Libra, the dragon's tail, the South Node is about to swoosh, is about to clear, is about to release. You are going through a karmic reckoning. There is nowhere to hide, darlings. I mean, there hasn't been for many years. The rugs were gone years ago, probably 2012, because yeah, you know what I'm saying. 2012, the rugs were gone. There's nowhere to push your shit anymore. You can't inject it away, you can't implant it away, you can't run it away, you can't drink it away, you can't smoke it away, you can't anger it away, you can't pretend it away, you can't hope it away, you can't dream it away. Reality is here, the reckoning. And this South Node is bringing a whole lot of stuff up. And we have, you know, over the next couple of weeks, Mars, well, where are we taking us to? Around the 12th. Okay, so from now until the 12th, I'm just going to sort of touch on a little bit of this. Mars, the ruler of Aries, is in Libra, his detriment. He doesn't want to be there. It's too indecisive there. He's thinking of other people. Mars doesn't want to think about other people. Mars is a selfish motherfucker. And if you've got a strong Martian chart, that is very representation of the archetype, is self, me. I don't compromise. I get what I want. I think about myself, right? Like this is Aries. This is Mars, right? And we all have Mars somewhere. We all have Mars in a sign and we all have Aries somewhere. So this isn't, again, you've got to be very emotionally intelligent when you're listening to the archetypes of astrology. As soon as you take something personally, you've missed the point. Okay, so this is Mars. He's an angry motherfucker. That's just the reality. But without him, we don't get out of bed. Without him, we don't have the motivation to empower ourselves, to become who we are, to become what we want to combat, to go into fight. And sometimes you have to fight for what you want. And sometimes you've got to fight for yourself. Sometimes you've got to fight for who you are. And this is Mars, okay? We need him. We love him. We want him. But you will find if you are a day chart, he is your bad boy. You know, he's your bad boy. He brings a little bit more trouble. Whereas if you're a night chart, you and Mars will vibe. Again, depending on his condition, you know, what sign he's in, what house he's in, what aspects he's making. This is just very general, going based off just night and day charts. So if you are a day chart, Mars is your bad boy. But if you're a night chart, Mars is your you know, he's your right wing, right? Like, you know, again, if he's in good condition. If he's not, well, you've got some work to do. But either way. So us day charties, you know, we Mars is, yeah, he's just fucking like rubs us up. That little arrow is like fucking pinging us in the hip. I can feel him now. I'm just like, oh, mate. And interestingly enough, for my 40th, my husband bought me three huge canvases and it's Mars, Jupiter and Saturn. And Saturn is my homeboy. Of course, you can't not love Jupiter and Mars. So I don't have Venus. Hello. I am Venus. That's probably why he didn't get Venus. And not that he even knew. He just found these amazing canvases that are up in our lounge room, and it's Mars, Jupiter, and Venus. I'm like, okay, Mars, I hear you, darling. I hear you. I'm getting better acquainted with you. So I'm just sipping on my coffee as I speak. So from now until the 12th, Mars and the South Node are coming together in Libra. You know, this hasn't happened for a very long time. I think I went back. Oh, look, I don't have my notes on me from my Lovers Lane nodal class. And again, if you are just keen to understand the North Node in Aries and the South Node in Libra and how that's affecting you and what we are in for the next 18 months, check that class out, because that was like 2+ hours of fucking power. And I talk a lot about, you know, what's actually unraveling with you know, timelines and things like that, lots of dates. But you know, this hasn't happened for a long time, okay, in the sign of Libra. And so when anything is hitting the South Node, there's the energy of release that needs to happen. So, you know, we might see old karma resurfacing. Of course, it's got to do with relationships, relationships to self, but it's also got to do with, you know, abundance, pleasure, desires, what you want, what you're drawing in. Remember, Libra is ruled by Venus, and Venus attracts, right? Like she magnetizes in. So to have this all in her sign, you know, there's still the element of Venus energy at play, right? So ultimately, when the South Node of karma, when the South Node of what you've already done or the past is being activated by such a strong energy, but also in his detriment. So again, it could be a little passive aggressive. It could be a little bit wishy-washy. Maybe you're just feeling in a bit of a held space at the moment. Like you just don't know. You can feel things are dying off and you know you want to cast things away, but you're also not sure. But maybe a lot of old stuff is resurfacing. You know, I've also sort of channeled through that, of course, you know, this could be very leaky energy as well. Like it's like the South Node is like holes in a bucket, right? And Mars is sort of poking them, you know. So what's poking you at the moment? What are you being poked by? Are you feeling triggered? Are you feeling, defensive? Mars is the planet of anger, of war, of the masculine, right? So also, you know, tuning into those archetypes of, you know, those energies, like, and how are you feeling within them? And look, when I talk about this with this Aries full moon coming up, I tell you what, like, holy shit. It's just it's yeah, it's the fire, baby. It is the fire. Fire and brimstone, darlings. So Mars is the ruler of this full moon tomorrow on the 29th of September. Okay. So there's this strong Martian theme going on, but from now until the 12th, you know, again, you know, Mars is poking these holes in your past. He is triggering things. He is maybe bringing up old karma. He is, you know, this could be old relationship patterns, old relationship anger. Maybe you're thinking of your relationship and like the things that have hurt you in the past. Maybe you're thinking of your relationship or intimate connection, and you know, anger's bubbling up around, you know, what happened 10 years ago, or you know, just this, it's bringing up stuff from the past, and maybe it's fueling sort of a volcano inside. This is around the evolving and the releasing. So Mars will not, you know, hit the South Node in Libra again for, you know, maybe not even 20 years. Maybe in 20 years it doesn't happen. So the thing is that ultimately, you know, ultimately in 20 years ish, when the South Node has moved back into Libra, Mars might not be in Libra. Okay. So this is where these moments are monumental. This is where these moments are important, darlings. Like, these are the things that you want to pay attention to. This is where, like, when I'm giving readings, I'm paying attention to all the things astrologers aren't paying attention to. And they're like, oh, this new moon will hit here and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, fucking hell, like, this is on your midheaven once every 2 years. Pay attention to this day. Like, pay attention to these 2 days. These are the 2 days where you want to manifest. These are the 2 days where you want to launch or whatever it is, right? And this is one of those times. This is one of those times. Mars and the South Node being together. And so this is a great time of evolution, of resolve, of purge, of letting go, of release. And this all ties in with this full moon that we're having. Okay, so this is around the whole, it's not just evolve or repeat. And if you read my words around the eclipse nodal class, that the eclipse masterclass that I've got coming up on 10/10, you know, I talk about that Doctor Strange moment, you know, where he keeps going to that darkness just over and over and over and over and over again. It's the same thing. It's like that Groundhog Day, and the darkness keeps like attacking him. And maybe, I don't know, I don't think it's called the darkness, but if you've seen that, if you've seen that movie, sorry, I'm just fiddling about because I've got like a child trying to call me, and I'm just like hanging up on her, and I'm just like, no, I'm working, I'm busy, I can't actually answer that phone call. Sorry. So distraction areno. So he's with the darkness and continually keeps coming back to the same space, right? Until they make a deal. This is sort of what this is. You know, we've got, you know, face your darkness or continue the perpetual looping that you're in. Now, I see this time and time again with clients, with people in my groups, triggered, defensive, in the same stories that they were a month ago, 6 months ago, a year ago, 5 years ago, because it's very hard to break through those. And I get it. We're fucking human. It is hard to let go and to break through. But this is the time. These perpetual loops of karmic conditioning are being asked to be released. This is a time where I have sort of been, it's sort of like let go or be dragged, evolve or repeat sort of stuff. But this isn't just evolve or repeat. It's like repeat, 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 repeat forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It's like there is a time, we've got windows where we can really move mountains. I mean, look, we can every day. We're fucking magical, quantum, multi-dimensional beings in a multiverse. If you know how to access that, but see, that's the thing. 0.0001% of people know how to truly access that space, right? And that realm, and to be able to do that work. It takes decades to do that work. That's why I can speak about it, because I've been doing it for decades. It's not something that you go to a manifesting fucking workshop because this person's loud and like la 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 la, or, you know, like that's not what it is. Like this is work. This is really deep magical alchemy. Okay. So the thing is that this portal that we're in at the moment is asking you to give it up, you know, to give up these self-serving perpetual loops that you're in. And I think Mars gives action and drive. And despite him being in Libra, he's hitting the South Node, you know, which does happen every 2 years. You know, he will hit the South Node every 2 years because that's his cycle, but it will be in a different sign. So it's actually when, you know, in 2 years, Mars will hit the South Node again, but it won't be in Libra, right? So the South Node activation is, you know, Mars, like I said, you know, he gives motivation. So I think that this can also be a really great time to move through the mud, to move through the energetic debris, the karmic stories, the stagnation that has built up and become this layered way of interacting with the world for your whole life. You know, it's those people that have just got those layers. You can just feel their emotional layers. You know, they're triggered by everything you say. They've got a problem for every solution. You know, they're the only ones in who whinge about things, even when you've given like awesome other stuff, right? Like they whinge, they bitch, they moan, because they're just like, they've got so much energetic debris built up, but it's become a personality. Again, check out Joe Dispenza. Like, this is that work. It's, you know, my last podcast that I did before I went to Singapore was about karmic purge, and look, here I am talking about it again. This is a very strong signature, not just this year, but, you know, it's there's some strong, powerful energies going on. So if you want to know more about that, definitely go and check out my last podcast. So I just also wanted to share that, you know, Mars is also energy. So over the next few, you know, couple of weeks, you might feel really low in energy. Maybe your vitality weakens, maybe your sexual appetite weakens, maybe your drive, your motivation, that weakens. But, you know, also there is the invitation for it to be renewed. Because remember, if Mars is hitting the south node, it's opposing the north node. And what does that mean? The arrow is pointing towards the Aries north node. And what is the Aries north node? Mars rules the Aries north node. So Mars himself is pointing towards the north node in Aries going, go there. Go where there's energy. You know, don't wait for motivation. Become consistent. You know, get moving. Take action. Be who you say you are. Be who you want to be. You know, move yourself into that new physical, you know, physical reality that you want to birth. And this all ties in with this full moon. Okay, so the 5th and 6th of October, ding, 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 pay attention. That is the exact Mars and South Node conjunction. Okay, exact. But the build is now, and pretty much until Mars moves into Scorpio, which is the 12th of October, we're going to be feeling that Mars South Node conjunction. Okay, we already have been. Mars is getting closer and closer by the day, but the 5th and 6th are where it happens exactly. So big stuff there. Okay, big stuff. I mean, I'm actually, you know, could talk about that next week as well. As I've seen the date here, I'm sort of talking right through until the 4th of October, but just pay attention because, you know, this could be headaches, health stuff, physical vitality. Like I just said, yeah, just pay attention. Old karmic patterns, relationship stuff, money stuff, just sludge from the past pretty much. So that is big. You know, we are, the word purge is big for October. It's eclipse season. We've got Mars conjunct the South Node. Mars moves into Scorpio, which is Hades land, Pluto stations direct. Hello, Hades again. Like, it is a very Scorpionic month without it being Scorpio month. Okay. Really big stuff. Now, to add to this, you know, I could talk about so much here, but I'm looking at the time. I'm like, okay, I've still got a fair amount that I want to get through. Also, what's actually happening in this week is Lilith is moving into Virgo, darlings. Oh my goodness. This is the 3rd. So the 3rd of October, we have had our very sovereign, loud, well, hopefully more quiet and authentic for you, depending on how your Lilith and Leo has played out. But Lilith and Leo has been a powerhouse. I mean, the last 18 months, Black Moon Lilith has moved through the signs of the luminaries. She has been in Cancer, which is the moon's home, and then she has been in Leo, which is the sun's home. Now she moves into Virgo, Mercury's home, right? So this is a really interesting transition. I probably want to dedicate more time talking, writing a post or doing whatever I want to do about that. So I won't take up too much time here talking about that. But it is a huge, huge, huge transit of this week. After 18 months of Lilith moving through the two gods, the mother and the father, Ra, radiant light, grandmother moon, Cancer and Leo, those archetypes of paternal and maternal, the king and the queen, Isis and Osiris. I mean, this has been a huge 18 months of Lilith. And if you just look around, the reclamation of Lilith has been strong. I mean, for some people, they've been working with Lilith for a long time. Some astrologers, it's their specialty. But it's been this last 18 months that she has really been calling women home and men. Men as well, for sure. You know, but the call home has been loud, loud. And now we heal. Okay, so for me, Lilith in Virgo is the healing balm that we all need. This is the time of reforming, of service, of softness, of allowing the divine service to play out. No more self-seeking, needing recognition, needing acceptance. Remember, Virgo is an archetype of God. Pisces and Virgo axis are God. Christ consciousness. this is about serving, the desire to serve. And so, yes, there's a lot to say of Lilith in Virgo, but for me, this is a beautiful in-between space while she's in Virgo and when she moves into Libra. In my 2024 kit, I have spoken about Lilith in Libra. But ultimately, you know, we're prepping for Lilith in Scorpio. You know, I just want to give you the hot tip, like Lilith in Scorpio, I'm already writing notes down for. It's 2025. I'm already getting shit ready for my 2025 kit, even though I've only just launched my 2024 kit. It's the year of the snake. Lilith will be in Scorpio. You cannot make this shit up. Okay, so it is wild, 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 wild stuff. So for me, there's sort of this reprieve, this real beautiful healing balm with Lilith in Virgo, where we get to come back to our bodies, where we regain even, you know, body health as well. You know, we've got to also look at, you know, Virgo being the physical vessel in a way of health and healing and mending things, right? Fixing things. And it's for me, it feels Lilith in Virgo and Lilith in Libra for the next 18 months is a real perfect portal before we move into Lilith in Scorpio, of course, because that's just how it rolls. So that's really beautiful. That's coming up on the 3rd. Now, let me use the last part of this time to talk about this epic, this very, very epic full moon in Aries. 29th of September 2023, 7:58 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. The day just happens to be a 9-day, the day of endings. Like, you cannot make this shit up, my friends. So all of those numbers, the 29, 2 and 9 actually equal 11. So there's sort of the 11 energy, which is that master number energy. It's the 9th month. It's also a 9-day, okay? And this is the final lunation for a month that you can do work on, okay, where you can really work with, because the next two lunations will be eclipses, and then we have to wait until November to get our next new moon that we can, the new moon in Scorpio, again, Hades moon, death moon. So there's a lot of, you know, we're about to go and meet Hades on very, very, very many levels. And that's why I've put together this masterclass on the eclipses, because I want to prepare you for what's to come around these eclipses. Now, tomorrow, on the 29th, this Aries full moon at 6 degrees also happens to be sulfur day in the liquid crystals. Now, sulfur is sulfur. You know what sulfur is. It's heat. It's reactive. It's brimstone. It's vitality. It's power. Yeah? It's heat. It's anger. It's rage. That is sulfur. So when we treat people with sulfur in the liquid crystals, they've usually got a lot of heat in their bodies, inflammation, things like that. Lots of heat, lots of anger, lots of, you know, the masking of, because they lack self-confidence and they lack self-worth and they lack self-love. They're not seeing themselves as physically radiant vessels. They're not radiating their hearts. They're not radiating from their eyes. They're actually, it's those chip on the shoulder. They're masking all of that lack, that real self-love, self-worth lack, self-confident lack with anger and rage. And we all know those people. We've all met those people. They will spit and spew out anger and rage to mask the deep, deep loneliness or unworthiness or self-unsatisfaction that they have, no confidence, the lack of self-worth that they have, and self-love. Yeah. And not self-love as in, oh, I love myself. I go and buy myself flowers. I have pedicures. Like, no, that's not self-love. That's just buying into society's shit. Self-love, like, and self-value are very, very different things than I love myself and look at me and look at me now. And it's that very physical, vain, egocentric self-love, which we see out there in the community, the preachers of self-love that are all around the aesthetics, not around the heart, not around their value system, right? So that mask of anger and rage then becomes a part of their skin, their body. It's like sulfuric acid just fucking bubbling up. Yeah. And this just happens to be on the freaking full moon day. Like, are you for real? And guess what? Sulfur's totem animal is the lion. And sulfur connects to Sekhmet. And I am going to, before I wrap this up, read from the Goddess Oracle some of the Sekhmet card, which is about anger and rage. So, you know, I do want to say, be mindful over the next couple of days, today, the 28th, the 29th, the 30th, as the moon, you know, the moon will move into Aries soon, tomorrow, I think. Not today, it's still in Pisces today. But, you know, the moon's going to move into Aries. The build is coming. We're feeling the build. And we've got to look at Aries, who's ruled by Mars. This Aries full moon is in the Deacon 1 of Aries as well, which is also ruled by Mars because it's the very first Deacon of astrology. Like, this is the beginning of astrology. So, you know, the card that associates with the Deacon 1 of Mars is the Tower card. So straight away, what do you see? The Tower is phallic, just like Mars. The symbol of Mars is phallic. It's obtrusive. It's coming at you. It's directing energy at you. The Tower card itself is also phallic in that way. It's the eviction of old order. This is the Tower card, right? It's eruption. It's destruction. It's crisis. It's change. It's climax. The Tower card feels like an eclipse. And this is where our full moon in Aries just happens to be, darlings. Now, I just want to side note and say I will be writing a full moon post today. I will get that up today or maybe tomorrow. I've got quite a full day today, but hopefully I'll get it done today. Where, you know, I'll have a little bit more succinctness or an order and structure around what I want to share around this full moon. I've obviously just got so much to say. I'm so excited to be back on my podcast. I've missed everyone so much. But, you know, I want to really prepare you for this full moon. Because it's a doozy. Like I said, it's the last one we can do anything on. Of course, it's a fire full moon. It's ruled by Mars. I've already talked about Mars. Mars is the ruler of this full moon conjunct the South Node. Okay, so we can look at even, you know, what axis are we looking at? Aries and Libra, which is where the nodes are. So interestingly enough, this is the final full moon in Aries for the next year and a bit that isn't an eclipse. Okay. Let me give you the hot fucking tip. The solar eclipse next year in Aries is a total solar eclipse. Rare, because it's total and it's in Aries. Now, this is the final full moon in Aries, which is inviting us to purge, to release. It's the purge between the eclipse purge. It's the purge to prepare you for the eclipse purging of October, where you can still take action before we have the eclipses in October. Yeah, it's the purge before the purge, darlings. I just want to say purge one more time because that's what it's about. Okay, like it's a fucking purge. It is a purge, darling. And the fact that sulfur is here, I mean, I just feel this volcanic, you know, the sulfuric acid of the burning, the fire, the rage. Now, if that's what's inside of you, that's what will come out of you. And that's why I'm saying just be cautious and mindful, because this full moon sets up eclipse season. Okay, so we've, again, it's quite a dynamic full moon. The cool thing about this full moon is it is unaspected. Now, it is making a couple of aspects to some asteroids, but I'm not going to talk about that at this point. The asteroids have been very close allies for me for a while now, and I'm working with them a lot more closely. But when I'm talking about, you know, the full moon making an aspect to another planet like Jupiter or Saturn or something like that, it's not happening. Besides the moon opposite the sun, which is why it's a full moon, there is no other aspects. The moon is in the sign of the North Node and Chiron, but they are both far away. We will, you know, that the full moon will happen and then he will apply to hit Chiron, the wound, the alchemist, the maverick, the great healer, the great shaman. And then the North Node, our destiny. So it's really interesting that Mars, the ruler of this full moon, is hitting the South Node with the poking holes in our past, inviting us to purge on a very, very deep level. Because if we don't, we're going to be Doctor Strange, just, you know, like, well, we're going to be that darkness, right? Like, just constantly in the perpetual loops forever. And forever isn't a long time because time is running out. You are running out of time to forgive, to heal, to move on, to stop being triggered, to stop being defensive. You're moving out. You're running out of time, darlings. You know, like, life is short. Life will be over soon. And we don't know how long we've got. One day, a week, 6 years, 4 years, 20 years. Like, we do not know. And it's how much longer do you want to take the South Node karma with you? I feel that this is a really important time. These nodes are very strong, if you haven't already experienced or felt that. So we've gone from that Taurus Scorpio axis, which was fucking phenomenal, to this Libra Aries, which I've said and predicted. I'm like, this will feel a lot stronger, my friends, because this is self and others. This is everything that people run away from, project on, deflect on, defend, just all the things. Like, it's relationships, you know. Scorpio and Taurus is different, you know. It's again, yes, it's physical and visceral and, you know, much more about those resources and magic, but it was huge. It was the love and death nodal portal, like, my God. But this one is different. This one is different. So there's such a strong invitation to release and to let go. Now, this full moon being in Deacon 1 of Aries, the Tower card, this climax, this, you know, what needs to be ruptured in your life? You know, thinking about evicting the old. And knowing that Aries 1, the Deacon of Aries 1, which is, like I said, Mars ruled, the Tower card, the Emperor, right? This is all Aries 1, Deacon 1. So the thing is that thinking about these things, it's like, this is the true invitation to end something. Because the Two of Wands, which is the Aries 1 card, is around spring cleaning, is around literally a purge. The Two of Wands is the very first card which relates to the autumn equinox. And here we are in the Two of Swords, Libra one, Deacon, because we've just had the spring equinox. Okay, so we've just started a brand new season. This is the first full moon in spring or autumn, wherever you are. So this is like, what is dead and dying? Because the rebirth is coming. The rebirth is coming. The phoenix moments are coming. Like I said, October is a very heavy Plutonian month. The solar eclipse, whilst it's an eclipse and we're not ritualing, we're not manifesting, we don't have any need to do those things, that's a part of the rebirth. That's a part of the spring rebirth, because that will be the first new moon of spring, which also happens to be eclipse, which just gives you the signature of this season, right? Like, we're in it. The next 3 months, this next 3 month portal from eclipse to solstice is a very, it's the eye of the needle, my friends. I've had people messaging me, say everything's going to get easier. Say it's going to get easier. I'm like, we're in a collective 7 year. this is the year of reckoning and alignment and fucking karma. And now we're seeing this end of the year out pretty big, you know, pretty big. So the fact that sulfur is here, the fact that, you know, this is a Mars ruled, you know, it's not just a Mars ruled full moon, but it's in a Mars ruled deacon. It's Aries one. We are being asked to clean, because remember, from this full moon, eclipse season officially opens. Then the moon wanes until it becomes the dark solar eclipse in Libra. And again, that's a south node eclipse. So it's another purge. And then 2 weeks later, we have the full moon eclipse in Taurus, which is another purge, which is seeing out the full 18-month cycle. You're getting the drift here, right? This is the ultimate letting go, the ultimate release, the completion. What are you done with in your life? What's dead in the water? What's dying? What do you no longer want to take with you? When we look at Libra energy, we can ask, so where are you compromising? That's the biggest thing, because there's compromising and then there's compromising, right? Because to be in relationship, it's why so many people are single, especially spiritual people, because they have no idea how to get their heads out of their own fucking asses, darlings, okay? Like, come and talk to someone who's been in a fucking marriage for 20 something years, who has done the work. Not these fucking self-love coaches who are single. They do not understand the relationship dynamic. How can you? It's like going to see a heart surgeon to fix your fucking car. You don't know what you don't do. You don't know what you're not experiencing. And compromising who you are, no, not cool. But compromising within a relationship and an intimate union, yes. Yes. This is the balance of the Aries and Libra archetype. You're either too Libra, South Node, what we're being asked to purge, people pleasing, don't want to disappoint anyone, don't want to upset anyone, hold in all the anger, say yes when you really mean no, you know, victim, martyr, I have to do this, resentful for just doing any of the things. Or Aries, me, myself, I, selfish, me first, how does this affect me? I'm not doing that for that, you know, so we're one of the, so we're trying to balance this polarity out. And this is what the full moon tomorrow is inviting us to do, plus this eclipse season for the next 18 months. Okay. It's a big, dynamic energy that we're in. Okay. So if you're feeling the heat and the fire of the lion, sulfur over the next few days, you know, honor that, tend to that. What's bubbling up for you? What are you angry about really? What are you covering or masking with anger, with rage, with defenses, with passive aggression? This full moon is bold because, like I said, it's unaspected and that's rare. It's rare that the moon's not talking to anything else, which means that it's fully dynamic and pure and it's able to be unencumbered in a way. Okay. And the volatility that might come up, you know, it might come up for some people. It might not come up for other people. Again, it depends on where it's happening in your own chart. Where is 6 degrees of Aries? Because that is where this full moon is peaking. Do you have planets around 6 degrees Aries or 6 degrees of other cardinal signs? Do you have planets at 6 degrees of fire signs? So the thing is that this is the fire. We're walking into the fire. This is a time to burn things to the ground. It's a tower moment. It's a climax. Yeah? What's being ruptured? And because the Two of Wands is involved and we're really looking at the beginning, that which is the beginning of the full zodiac, the full decan of astrology, the 360 degrees is, you know, we are in decan one, the very first decan. This is an important ending and completion to begin again. But whilst the moon continues to wane over the next couple of weeks until the 15th, you know, we've got so much energy, you know, we've got so much being cleared out. You know, Venus will finally move out of Leo after 4 long months. Yeah, her retrograde has taken people to the ends of the earth. I feel this eclipse season in my bones, like it's bone shaking. You know, in the next couple of weeks, of course, like I said, Mars and the South Node, they're pretty much active right through till the 12th. And then Mars moves into Scorpio land. Hello, fucking Pluto. You know, like this is such an enormous time. The fact that the full moon falls on a day that is represented by endings, 9 and sulfur, fire, brimstone, anger, release, Sekhmet, power. Like, come on. Like, this shit is so incredible. Like, it blows my mind over and over and over and over and over again. So, darlings, all the ice has gone from my ice latte, and that's completely fine because I've got all the fire. I've put on some incredible Regulus today before I started, which is the fixed star in the heart of the lion in Leo there. I took some golden sphinx before I jumped on the call, which of course is the sphinx, and some heart of gold, which is some beautiful hawthorn and rose medicine from Aotearoa, you know, the motherland. And, you know, taking these tools, you know, I'm wearing Mercury, Hermes, the psychopomp, you know, the rituals and medicina and talismans that have just entered my life this year, Saturn in Pisces in my sixth, is fucking mind blowing. I mean, this has always been my way, but the way they have entered my life, like this is where astrology is in action. This is where you embody astrology, darlings, is to know what's unfolding and how you're bringing these rituals in. It's the magic in the mundane, right, darlings? It's the magic in the mundane. So, yeah, this full moon just feels just so powerful and so potent. And if you're willing to take action, roll your sleeves up, burn some shit to the ground, honor whatever's bubbling up for you. Like, this is a time, this is a moment. Be gentle with yourself if you're feeling exhausted or drained. With Mars in the South Node, there could be some health stuff, headaches, leaky energy, just fucking exhaustion. But remember, the North Node is calling us, who is in Aries. Okay. Now I'm going to read Sekhmet before I finish this. Sekhmet, anger and rage. Now this could feel like great for you. Sekhmet is the lion head. It's got the cobra and the sun. Again, sulfur feels like the sun. It is the lion. Yeah, we're working with the lion and the ram energy tomorrow. Yeah. Powerful. Okay. Anger and rage. I burn and fume and shoot daggers from my eyes. I erupt and roar. Though you've not pulled my tail, my edges are sharp and I cut deep. My energy is strong and fierce, and my displeasure needs to be expressed. Though sometimes mild, I can be very intense. Once incited, I am difficult to put out. I am always appropriate, always needed. Don't try and get rid of me. I need to be acknowledged and heard. I am anger. That invitation is so Libra, South Node, Aries, North Node, Aries, full moon, Mars on the South Node. Like, come on. This is around acknowledging the anger, hearing the anger, moving through the rage, not trying to get rid of it, suppress it, bypass what I call human bypassing. Yeah. It's in all the human glory, the brutal and beautiful that we exist as humans. So travel well under this full moon, darlings. It's a doozy, as you can feel. Real doozy. If you've got sulfur, the liquid crystal, you could take it to really help you drop into these. I will definitely be making some sulfur up today. I will just be 3-drop micro dosing sulfur all day tomorrow. It's a 9-day of endings, of purge, of release. The full moon happens to be at nighttime here in Australia, so go out and get a glimpse of her. I have just bought an incredible crystal ball, one that I've been searching for, and she called me, and I found her, and oh my God, I want to cry. She's huge and she's amazing. So I'm actually going to be sitting out under the full moon with a crystal ball. Like, fucking hell, who even am I? The witch in me has just been reborn. Something big time. But I need to give her a nice big clearing because she was in a shop. And yeah, I mean, yeah, it's potent wormhole that we're about to enter. Come and join me for my Eclipse Masterclass, darlings. I would love to see you in there. And you can get the real, fundamental signatures of these eclipses. But until then, journey well. Really stay attention and take responsibility for your energy. Sulfur calls for self-responsibility. So take that self-responsibility. Remember, like, here we are, we're ending Lilith in Leo with a lion full moon, the roar of the lion, the heart alchemy, right? It's incredible because Lilith is at 29 degrees right now of Leo before she moves into Virgo on the 3rd. I do, of course, have a lot more to say on that. I probably will do a post. I will get a post up for this full moon as well, just so you can read it and have it at your fingertips. But I hope you've enjoyed today because I certainly have. It's been just fucking an hour of power, my friends. A fucking hour of power. I've just loved it so much. And it's hilarious because my little heads up thing on my podcast app is bright red. It's just like, heads up, your time is coming to an end, and I'm in bright red so that you can see me. I'm actually feeling cool. I mean, I have just come back from motherfucking Singapore, so I am loving this weather. It is delicious. We went to the beach yesterday. It was fucking cold, my friends. It was cold. It was windy. The water was icy and beautiful, but too choppy for me because I'm a big sook. I just like to lay in the ocean when it's like a glass lake. I'm not big on waves and shit like that. That annoys me. I'm too lazy. I'm a Taurus. I just want to lay and not have to worry about that, but just be submerged in the ocean. But yeah, I'm feeling the power of this full moon, and it feels exciting. And like I said, I love that she's unaspected. She's free. She is dynamic, and she is inviting us to, really complete something, really see something out, especially before this solar eclipse mid-October. So much love, darlings. So happy to be back. Love you all so much. Have a happy, happy Thursday, day of Jupiter, and enjoy your weekend, your long weekend. School's back next week for here in Brisbane, and life is fucking glorious, my friends. Love you.